Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum this hour. There's lots to talk about. We're all waiting with bated breath for the United States Supreme Court to hand down its ruling on the Affordable Care Act. I know that C-SPAN 3 is going to be live at the Supreme Court awaiting the decisions. Will that be among them today? If it is, we will turn to that live and start to focus our broadcast completely on that. But in the meantime, we have an open forum scheduled. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about health care? What do you think the United States Supreme Court is going to do with the Affordable Care Act? Rule it, dismantle it entirely, dismantle parts of it, or uphold it? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You may have heard that the Gannett is going to take over the business operations of the Lantern at Ohio State University. It's a student newspaper at Ohio State University. What do you think about that in general? Do you think that's an appropriate expansion of privatization at Ohio State University? We've been talking about the parking lots. What do you think about privatizing the business operations at the Lantern at Ohio State University? Maybe you're a former Lantern staff writer or editor. Could give us your perspective. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to talk about that. The Obama administration, the president of the United States, has invoked executive privilege for documents related to the, Justice Department documents related to the Fast and Furious mission. Now considered the botched gun trafficking operation. There's an investigation into that. Do you want to talk about that? 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org for this open forum. You can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU. It is the end of the Jerry Sandusky trial today. Apparently, closing arguments are expected today. A few more of the counts. Now, there was down to 51 counts yesterday, and apparently three more counts have been dismissed by the judge in that case. But in any event, that still leaves 48 counts left. So, give us a call if you want to talk about the Jerry Sandusky case some more. We've been talking about it all along. Is there anything more you want to add? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Any minute now, we could be hearing that the U.S. Supreme Court has issued its ruling in the Affordable Care Act case. How would you like to see that fall? Are you for it, against it? What is your prediction about what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to do in that case? 614-292-8513. And once again, Gannett Company's Media Network of Central Ohio, it already prints and distributes Ohio State student newspaper The Lantern. Under a new deal, it will soon manage the paper's advertising and business operations. That starts July 1st. And Jacob in Columbus, you'd like to talk about that. Welcome to the show, Jacob.
Hi, Ann. Thank you.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm an Ohio State student. I'm going into my senior year, history and art history. And when I read The Lantern, it's always good because I can sort of know that it's from a student perspective, and I can always feel like my interests are being presented with that newspaper. And now with the privatization of it, I'm not too sure exactly where that's going to go and if it's going to be such a reliable source, whether or not I can get the opinion pieces from the students that I'd like to or not. So it is a little bit disconcerting.
That's interesting. You think that they've said that they won't have anything to do with the editorial content.
Which, you know, that's great to hear. I hadn't heard that yet. I just recently found out about this. So that's good to hear. But
I'm trying to look for, there are lots of people who think it's a good move. It's a natural move. I mean, in general, does privatization concern you, or is it just in the case of The Lantern that you...
I think just in general, you know, combining this with the parking situation, it's a little bit you know, I'm just curious where the university is going forward, if it's going to do this with more, you know, outsets of it. You know, we could see possibly, you know, other parts of the university maybe getting privatized. And it's just, as a public university, it's, you know, goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. So
I remember at Michigan State, my alma mater, when I worked in the newspaper, the students who worked in the advertising end of it, the business operations end of it, helped put themselves through school with what they earned, mm-hmm. because, of course, they earned a commission, and we never knew who they were. We never came in any contact with them at all, those of us who made $50 a week at the time.
Right.
Writing for the paper. So one of the questions is, will they keep the student ad account executives on board, or will they professionalize it altogether and or not? That's one thing, whether it'll cost a couple students their jobs. So
right, and I would hope that the students, you know, get to keep those jobs, just like what was said earlier, that, you know, the student newspaper is not necessarily for a professional outlet. It's for these students to get the experience,
right,
for them to then go on and have a professional, you know,
exactly,
job. And this is for the experience. That's basically what I take college as. It's a learning experience and learning how to function in the real world. And if you know, for these journalists, you know, these journalism majors or anything, anyone who's doing this, you know, it's a great opportunity. And then if you start bringing in other people, then it almost defeats the purpose. You know, why is it then, why would it be the Ohio State student newspaper instead of just an OSU-centered mm-hmm. newspaper?
Exactly. So, it's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good point. It could end up that way. So who knows? But we will find out, because it's pretty much a done deal. It'll start July 1st. Jacob, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks.
What do you want to talk about? We have an open forum this hour, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm curious to think what people think about the President Obama invoking executive privilege for documents related to the investigation, the botched gun trafficking investigation, known as Fast and Furious. Very catchy little phrase there. It was the first time that he has asserted these powers in response to a congressional inquiry. And it definitely raises eyebrows and draws a lot more attention to the investigation, which has been front page news, but really hasn't been at the top of very many lists of things to talk about when it comes to open forums, at least. Give us a call if that's something you do want to talk about, 614-292-8513. On another issue, a more local issue, I was interested by Allison Manning's story in the Columbus Dispatch today about the city suing residents who mow along the three reservoirs, Griggs, O'Shaughnessy, and Hoover. They don't want the mowing because the grassland is used to filter the water as it goes through the water table and into the reservoirs. Mowing it affects its ability to filter the rainwater and other runoff into the reservoirs. I guess these people, their properties back up to these areas, and either they don't know why it's important that to mow the grass, or there is disputes about who owns the property or where the property lines begin and end. But in any event, what do you think about that? What do you think about the city using that tactic? Someone said maybe education is in order. Someone else said this goes back to the 90s. Why is it still an issue at all? 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What do you want to talk about in the news? Maggie in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Maggie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a couple comments to make, one being that I'm disappointed that OSU did not, first of all, give the whole issue of the parking lot income and running of those parking lots to their School of Business. You know, it's touted as one of the top business schools in the country. Couldn't they solve this problem and figure out a way to get more funds more immediately? Instead, we go to some commercial outside enterprise. And now it's the same thing with the school newspaper, with the Lantern. Why aren't we using our resources that are right on campus? We keep talking about our top-notch scholars who are there, creating top-notch students. Why do we have to go outside to commercial enterprises? Why don't we put our own students and faculty to work on these issues?
Well, I think as far as the parking goes, the benefit to the university, not defending it, but the benefit is a little bit different than just farming out the operations. There's a one-time payment of something like $783,000 that will come to the university right off the bat that the university can then invest. So there's a lump sum amount there that gives the university some flexibility in investing for the future that way versus just waiting for the money to roll in.
Well, you know, I realize that, but we've got these incredibly clever people, brilliant people, right on campus. There have to be people who think outside the box and who could figure things out that would be not only financially of benefit to the university, but academically.
Okay.
You know, that other universities could borrow this idea and say, wow, look what OSU came up with regarding their parking situation or their school newspaper or whatever. You know, my understanding is that President Gee is really wanting to put OSU on the map, and he has. He certainly has already, but even more so. And I'm just disappointed that we're not looking within our own faculty and staff to come up with new ways of thinking, new ways of dealing with these, and still solve our problems.
Well, I think this idea, the parking idea, certainly did come from staff at OSU. Yeah, but
that.
The money, the investment money, there's nowhere you're going to get that from within the university community. It has come from without. From outside. But I see your point. Why can't somebody in the university run the student newspaper business operations in a way that generates more revenue and enhance it that way instead of going outside to get a private enterprise to do it?
Oh, sure. Let's let our students figure out these problems. That's why that's a part of their education, it seems to me. It's a very practical and useful part of their education. It's the problem solving of how to come up with money. If they're going to be newspaper publishers in the future, they will certainly encounter the same kind of challenges.
That's right. That's a good point, Maggie. Thanks for your call.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for your program.
Oh, thank you, Maggie.
You bet.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
The court has released two decisions so far, the United States Supreme Court, but not one regarding health care. We're still waiting. We're obsessively checking, I am told, the Supreme Court of the United States blog, C-SPAN, and Twitter for updates. So if and when that occurs today, if it breaks out today, we'll be covering it. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Fast and Furious, the GOP's gunning for Attorney General Eric Holder. How you see the fury depends on where you stand. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 84 degrees with sunshine in downtown Columbus, and a hot day today, a high of 94. There is a chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm late tonight, a low of 69 degrees. Sunny with a slight chance of morning rain for Friday, and a little cooler, a high of 84.
Support for 89.7 comes from the state auto insurance companies providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We have an open forum this hour as we await whether the decision by the United States Supreme Court or its decisions today that are being released today, a third opinion has been released, but still not one regarding health care reform, the Affordable Care Act. if and when it does, we will turn our sights to that exclusively. In the meantime, we have an open forum, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've been talking about the decision by Ohio State to turn its business operations over to the Gannett Company's Media Network of Central Ohio. They'll be operating the business operations, ad sales, that sort of thing. There was a question, someone wondered about the students that work in that department. Right now there are 14 students who work in the Lantern's business office. 12 were set to return next year, according to a story in the Lantern. And the Lantern also has 3 professional staff members. It's unclear what will happen to the professional staff members. And a spokesperson for the Gannett Company's Media Network of Central Ohio has said that they will continue to use employ students to get the work done, but they will interview them themselves. There's a current staff that knows the process. The spokesperson said they know the advisors. They have a great opportunity to keep moving forward going into the fall, but it's not clear whether that's part of the deal at this point. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you want to join the conversation, we have an open forum this hour. What do you want to talk about? Alyssa in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Or I'm doing well is what I should probably
say. Okay, well, I know. I'm the same way. So what's up?
I was calling because I guess it's kind of unrelated to anything that you all have talked about so far, but I wanted to kind of, I don't know, see if anybody wanted to call in and talk about youth and volunteerism. I work for a nonprofit called YouGive.org. We're here in Columbus, and we help connect high school students to volunteer opportunities. So we have over 46,000 students on this site nationwide, and high school students can go on and search for things that they want to volunteer with, and then they can, after they volunteer, they get it put on a service resume to help them go to college. So, and I've just experienced this year some awesome high school students that have been getting out there and volunteering in their communities, and volunteerism can also help you as a student get into college and help you earn some scholarships. So, and I think when the job market's a little tough, we don't necessarily think about getting out there and volunteering, but it's a great way to meet people and also to give back to your community. So, and I've seen that this year.
Well, I've heard a lot of advice from job counselors, job search counselors saying, if you can't find a job, you should be out there doing something, and volunteering is a great thing to do. But you're the first time, it's the first I've heard of an organization devoted to, having some kind of clearinghouse for opportunities. So give us the website for that, Alyssa.
Right, definitely. It's yougive.org, UGIVE.org. And we were started in Cincinnati in 2008 by Chris Collinsworth and Gianna Castellini. Chris Collinsworth of the Bengals and the Castellinis own the Reds. And our whole mission is just to help high school students volunteer. So any high school student that wants to volunteer, get onto the website and you can find some great opportunities this summer when you have more free time.
Okay. UGIVE.org.
UGIVE.org.
YouGive.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll post that on our website at wosu.org/allsides. And
awesome.
Thanks for your call, Alyssa. We appreciate it.
Yeah, let's say thanks to the high school students who are volunteering.
Right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. We have an email from Brad. He writes, no connection to OSU directly, but I see this, apparently the decision to turn over the business operations at the Lantern to the Gannett Company, as another example of the public university taking property that is essentially partially taxpayer-owned and selling it for a quick infusion of cash. This is really not something the university will regret when the Gannett board decides they need to advertise more, or when Gannett, despite the claims they won't interfere, has a problem with a story that contradicts the political position Gannett has put forward. With power comes more control, despite the good intentions the board might claim. Also, isn't it a learning opportunity to run the business of a newspaper? Why give it to the huge Gannett company? Well, of course, they're not giving it to the huge Gannett company. They're leasing it to Gannett. So they're not selling it. They're leasing it. And it's at something like $27,000 a month is what it'll generate for the university and for the Lantern. But point made, Brad. Point taken. 614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call and join the conversation on our open forum. We just had a fourth decision out of the United States Supreme Court. Still no health care. Belinda in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Belinda.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say I agree with Maggie about the students running the business operations for the parking. I think they could say, you're getting over $700,000. We will give you, I think the students could say, we'll give you our first million that we make. And then after that, we can discuss how we divvy up the profits. But the students can give more than $700,000.
But not in one fell swoop. I mean, not they can't just dole. Who has $750,000?
Well, whatever they make in the parking, do they have to have it that fast? Like, can't the our first million we make goes straight to the university?
Well, the idea is the university, when they get that lump sum, and again, I'm not defending the university, I'm just explaining it. When they get the lump sum, then they can invest it and generate revenue from investments and then use that to invest in the university community, whether it's in more professors or more, you know, whatever, and to operate the university. But that's the idea of the lump sum.
I'm just wondering how long it would even take to get that lump sum if the students took over. Would it really take that long for them to come up with that money?
You know,
and I'm thinking also, I think the students have an investment with other groups in on campus that they might even think of other ways. Like, how can we get more things down here so we have more people that want to park down here? That they have more an investment in the university itself than just some outside. Like, okay, we're just handling parking. Mm-hmm. Whereas the students they could be out like, hey, this department, what can you do that we can get people to come down here that will then go, the proceeds will help our parking fund.
Okay.
And I just think that I think when you're operating from within, just like the promoting type within type of mentality, that there's more, I think, like, care about the whole organization as a whole. And the experience that those students would get and right out the bat, once they graduate, that they've got all the kinks worked out, like, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, and I know why, because I have this great experience. I just don't think $700,000 right off the bat is, I think that's a sellout to what they can accomplish in the long run for themselves and for the university, and the money that they can give back.
Okay. I mean, that, and you feel No, that's okay. And you feel the same way about the lantern then, I gather.
Probably. I was just listening. I just tuned in.
Okay.
And I heard Maggie's call.
Okay.
And I think she's right. And so then I just started hearing about the lantern, but then I had to turn off my radio to stay on hold. So
right. the whole topic arose.
So I'm sure I probably feel the same way.
Well, the whole topic arose because the university's leasing its business operations for the Lantern newspaper, the student laboratory newspaper, to Gannett Company's Media Network of Central Ohio. And then likewise, we got into the conversation about the parking lot again. So same principle.
Yeah, I mean, the students have the energy and they're overzealous. They're going to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And we're some kind of organization that just comes in that they just want to make money for parking. Now, that's probably their only concern. And I just think this just would really benefit the university, the students so much, and even other departments, because you might find them working with other departments that they never did before, never thought they would, and say, okay, what can you guys offer so we can get, you know, in this month, this weekend, it's kind of slow, we need to get this parking generation, you know, the revenues coming in. And I just think it would be a great internal thing, but and great for the business students. So
okay, well,
all right,
thanks,
thank
Belinda.
You, Ann.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And apparently the U.S. Supreme Court has finished issuing its opinions for today. So no health care decision today, maybe tomorrow, maybe on Monday, maybe next Thursday. We don't know. But when it does come down, we'll be covering it at at 89.7 NPR News. If you want to make sure you turn to us when the time does come. Jeff in Springfield, you're under the air. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just, you know, I'm not that informed on the issue, but I'm really concerned about the Supreme Court decision as a, you know, young person myself who's kind of reliant on the health care of my, you know, my family.
Mm-hmm.
So if they overturn, you know, the extension in that health care act, does that mean I'm going to lose my coverage? I mean, there seems to be like a personal issue tied in with this?
Well, that's a good question. And they could overturn parts of the law, and they could save other parts. For instance, the one that extended the coverage children on their parents' insurance, under their parents' insurance coverage. I think it's the age of 26 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you're one of those out there that's benefiting of that. There's another controversial coverage for pre-existing conditions and children. Would that be turned, you know, would that be maintained while other parts of the law are discarded? That's the question. They could do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of like one of the only first world nations that doesn't offer, you know, comprehensive health care for its populace. And that's really surprising in and of itself. But also the fact that now we're kind of gambling with, you know, health care of young people, kind of starting them out on the road in a lesser capacity than previous generations. Like, that's, you know, not exactly inspiring or, I don't know. So.
But what do you think about the idea of the personal, you know, the personal mandate that everybody has to buy it? A lot that seems to be at the root of the problem.
My understanding of it, and I, you know, like I said, I'm not an expert, but there is a income cap. My understanding is that if you can't afford the tax kind of penalty, then you won't have to pay it, which was my biggest gripe with it, I guess, is that it felt like punishment in a way for not being able to afford healthcare in the first place. So, I mean, insofar as like taxing people for not buying it.
You know, I'm as long as we've got you here, you know, one of the problems is for people in your age group is you're basically healthy. You know, you know, there's larger percentage. It's not the time of your life when you need health insurance, maybe as you do as you grow older. Would you, let's say you fall just within the income range of being forced to pay for it yourself, would that bother you to take that big of a chunk of your income to pay for health care when you're healthy, you don't get sick?
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. Will I even be able to find employment that will garner me enough income to pay for that kind of thing? And I think in this economy, that's a really difficult goal to accomplish with the, you know, current job market the way it is. I mean, if you can find a job with healthcare, that's amazing. If you can find a job that could pay for it independently, that's pretty special in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the jobs, from what I read recently, the top 10 employers in the nation, you know, McDonald's and Walmart are the top two. So, I mean, good luck finding a good paying job that'll take care of you.
Good point. Okay. Well, Jeff, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. What do you want to talk about? Looks like healthcare is not on the list of decisions coming out of the Supreme Court today, maybe Monday. Whenever it does, we'll be covering it at 89.7 NPR News. But what do you think about that? Which way would you like to see the court go? 614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Which way do you think the court will go? Whether regardless of what way you would like it to go, which way do you think it will go? Give us a call and tell us what your opinion is. 614-292-8513. I have not had this verified, that the U.S. Supreme Court has struck down a policy regulating curse words on broadcast television. They didn't say anything about radio in this post. It was on Twitter, I guess. So we're looking that up and trying to find out if it applies to radio as well as television. What do you think about that? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What do you think? We've been talking about the decision to lease business operations at the Lantern newspaper at Ohio State to the Gannett Company's Media Network of Central Ohio. It's worth about $27,000 a month to the university. I think that's a good idea or not. The president of the United States has, for the first time in his administration, has invoked executive privilege for documents related to the Fast and Furious investigation going on, gun trafficking investigation going on. What do you think about that? Any particular thoughts? You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are in an open forum, so I'm looking forward to hearing from folks. The phones just lit up, so be patient while the screener works her way through your calls. Stay with us, and we'll get somebody on the air right away. We can take a break right now while she gets caught up, and then we'll return to our open forum on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Stay with us in 20 minutes. At 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides begins, a discussion of the 40th anniversary of ComFest and the state of counterculture right here in Central Ohio. Join us from 11 till noon for Hour 2 of All Sides with Ann Fisher. And you can always receive daily updates from WOSU by liking our station on Facebook or by following WOSU News on Twitter. Another way to connect with us is by subscribing to our daily News Loop e-newsletter. Visit WOSU.org/email to sign up.
Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, providing a disciplined approach to help individuals and small businesses grow and maintain their wealth. TheMontgomerySolution.com.
If you contributed to 89.7 NPR News this year, thank you. Your support provides for the highest quality news and information. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th, and we still have about $50,000 to raise to meet our annual goal. If you wish to make an additional gift or fulfill your current gift, you can do so right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. Thank you for supporting 89.7 NPR News. Sunny skies today, warming up to a high of 94. There's about a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, a low of 69. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We have an open forum this hour. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We've been talking about the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, not yet issued, but speculating how it might rule on the Affordable Care Act. Some people call it Obamacare. Some people call it health care reform. You know, whatever your, pick your poison. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to talk about that. We've also been talking about the privatization of the business operations of Lantern, the student newspaper at Ohio State University. But what do you want to talk about in the news? Give us a call. You can also join us on our All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. Matthew in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Good morning, Ann. I have a couple of points on Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. One, President Obama spent a lot of political capital and time passing this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
There are some good points to it, but was it the first priority that the American people were looking to have addressed? And I have a question as to whether that is the case or not, when jobs and the economy was on a lot of people of minds, and it still is today.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I heard some young people discussing whether they contribute or not to the costs of health care. You know, in auto insurance, young people are most expensive because they're the most risky. In health insurance, the inverse, because they're the least risky and most healthy. But at the same time, if you're going to have a pool of insurance, everybody needs to contribute at some level to the health care to make it affordable for all, whether it's a private market, a government-run market, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Third of all, like in some states, they have found that a very small proportion of people who are on Medicare or Medicaid are a majority of the cost. Like maybe 4 or 5% of the population is 50 or 70% of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the places we need to really look to make this thing work. And even if it is unconstitutional, there are still some good things about pre-existing conditions, the ability to shop and to have an exchange. Those should remain. Those are my comments, quite a few.
Well, I wanted to go back to the idea about how such a small percentage of the people who spend, who cost the most for Medicare and Medicaid, that small number, you're saying we should look to that. What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, are those people who are, who, if they are given a recommendation by a doctor, totally flaunt it, ignore it, don't care, one. Two, are we needlessly spending money to do defensive medicine when it's not required? You know, there's a lot of things that go into managing someone's care. I mean, I'm not saying we just cut costs and put mm-hmm. people at risk, but mm-hmm. what I'm saying is use the money smartly.
Okay. I, you know, it's kind of interesting when it comes to those, that small percentage of people that spend, you know, that represent most of the costs. Any of us could wind up in that group, don't you think?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
And what I, you know, if I do end up in that group, as long as I think I'm still have a chance at a productive life down the road, yeah. I would want that money to be spent on me. And at some point, you know, those who are in hospice or whatever, they realize they're going to pass, and they say, don't spend society's resources on me. Move on to the next person. I will be okay in the next place I'm going to end up. And, you know, that's a whole different thing.
Okay.
But a lot of people who, you know, like, I don't want to get into specifics. It's just not mm-hmm. fair. But
okay.
I'm not a health professional, so it's I'm out of my area.
Okay. All right. Well, good food for thought, Matthew.
Well, thank you, Ann.
Take care. Thanks. I'm going to go to Lindsay, kind of on the same topic. Lindsay in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I totally still kind of reeling from why people are getting so stressed out over the healthcare stuff, because as a previous caller said, once everyone is actually paying into something, cost of healthcare is going to drop dramatically, or at least for insurance, because the doctors will be getting paid what they need to get paid by whichever insurance at the time, whether it's Medicaid or a private insurance or something of that sort. And so they're not going to be worrying about getting their premiums because they're getting paid. And so everything's going to drop in price. And yes, it's something that some people may say it's frowning or it's imposing on personal liberties and personal rights. But at the same time, you got to think beyond yourself and think of the country as well. Think of your neighbor. Do unto others as you would wish them to do to you, as a lot of people would say.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would say, you know, if someone needs help medically, mentally, something like that, mm-hmm. and I have the means to do it, which, by the way, I really don't. I'm going back to school to try to get a better job. I've already got a degree. Not doing well. I'm working at Walmart. I would, if I had the means to do that, I would help that person or other people. But I don't have the means to do that. So what's the big deal with asking those who do to help out more? You know, to say, okay, yeah, everyone, because in my opinion, what I've seen is a lot of the people who have means are the ones who don't want to spend on insurance because they're, quote unquote, healthy.
Okay.
And the people who don't have means, like myself, who need the insurance, can't afford it because we work the jobs that we have to work. Because no one else will hire.
Right. You work for Walmart, you said.
Yes, ma'am.
No health insurance.
Not affordable health insurance. Let me put it that way.
How much would it cost?
It would cost like 30% of my paycheck
hmm.
each time.
Okay.
And then have an incredibly insane deductible, like $5,000 a year. And it's just, I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And for someone like myself, I spent many years at Ohio State. I have a bachelor degree. I have an associate. I'm going back for another associate because no one's going to hire me unless I have a title. And I'm going back for my vet tech to get a title.
Well, good luck with that. That's a good business. People spend a lot of money on their health care for their animals, for their pets, don't they?
And insurance on pets is going up, too.
Right.
So.
Okay. All right, Lindsay. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Study hard and hang in there.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. We've got a few more calls to take on healthcare reform. What do you think? 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Stan in Lithopolis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'd like to make a comment. What I've noticed on the healthcare, these politicians tell us we don't want to be like Europe. Well, last year, me and my wife are both in a German singing group.
Uh-huh.
And we happened to went over to Europe, to be exact, Munich. Well, one night my wife's ankle swollen up, so we had to go to the emergency room in Munich. And what surprised me, there was hardly anyone in the emergency room. And here in this country, no matter what time you go to the emergency room, it's always packed. And I had a chance to talk with some of the Germans, and they mentioned that they only go to the emergency room when they need it. And it made me think, maybe we need to take a look at what the members of the European Union are doing. Because some of the things that I've noticed over there, where it's not uncommon for us to see trash along the highways. Over there, you didn't even see any trash.
Well,
and you know, with I think the trouble is our politicians get into this us against them instead of noticing what the problem is and addressing the problem.
Okay.
So that's my two cents worth.
Okay. All right. Well, Stan, thanks for your call.
You take care.
Take care of yourself. Let's see, Frank in Columbus. Hi, Frank, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I was just calling to talk about this idea of the mandatory health care being like a tax.
Okay.
Because to me, it's really like when you fill out, the way I understand it is when you fill out your taxes, you check a box on it that says, yes, you have health insurance, and no, you don't. And if you don't, then you just get charged $500 more for your tax return, right?
It may operate like that. I'm not sure, but the principle is basically some people call it a fine or a penalty, but
yeah, that's what kind of bugs me. I mean, how is that any different than I pay more for my taxes because I don't have a fuel efficient car. Why does this get struck down? Does that mean that we're gonna have people in there next saying that they're mandating fuel-efficient cars, or that they're mandating something else that gives you a tax credit because you pay more taxes when you don't have it?
It's an interesting question. That's coming at it from a different perspective. That's interesting, Frank.
Alternatively, if it does get struck down, could the administration, political situation notwithstanding, couldn't the administration just raise taxes on everyone and give it a tax credit for having insurance and then just be the exact same thing as what's already there? To me, it seems like the mandate is just like an exercise in spin and semantics.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Very interesting. I'm going to try to remember that. I'm going to pop that into my questions to ask or discuss when we do talk about the ruling, when it comes down, probably sometime next week at this point. But we'll be covering it at the time, and I'll shoot that question out there, Frank.
Yeah, and if I don't, they asked the question like whether it counted as a tax or not. But if I remember right, no one really spent all that much effort on proving whether it was or not.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a show of they just did it because they felt like they had to,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a few more calls we want to get to before we have to close it down. So, Frank, thanks for your call.
Yep, thank you. Take care.
614-292-8513. Abdul in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Anne, for taking my calls.
You're welcome.
I just want to add a little bit of responsibility for the government. Should play a big role on the health care issue because it's very sensitive. And this official elected by the people, and it seems this system run by the corporate. So the government official should realize that the position they hold and they're elected by the people, and they should work for the people, not the corporate. Just want to add that comment.
Okay. All right. But what about most of the people saying the percentage of people who say that they don't support the healthcare reform?
It's not going to be perfect for everybody, but we have to look at the – we always want to help people who need the help. There are some people that have everything and they don't want to help. That's the problem we're having with the healthcare issue right now. Because people, they don't want to contribute to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government should go hard on this because this most hospital owned by private and, you know, they charge in the government most of the health care, like seniors, all they have Medicaid, all the stuff paid by the government because and they have to mandate their own rules and regulation and talk to these people like, you know, we elected by the people, we work for the people. And I'm sure they have the other side too. They have some lobbyists for the corporate and fighting the government on behalf of the corporate. So,
okay.
But always citizen will win. The people will win.
Okay. Well, Abdul, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
You bet. Darlene, in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Darlene.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to comment that through school and later in life, I was always taught that Americans, while independent, cared for one another. It is both an ethical and a religious responsibility to care for those who are not able to care for themselves. And it's pretty obvious in our society, as the previous caller mentioned, that the corporations aren't interested in doing that. So the only entity that is capable of doing that would be the government. I think that the cap that was discussed by one of the previous callers takes care of those who cannot afford to pitch into the pot. But I find that it is really an ethical responsibility to care for one another, and this seems to be the only way that we can do it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Darlene.
You're welcome, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. By the way, the United States Supreme Court decision on health care reform, on the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare or however you want to refer to it, will not be today. But we're talking about it anyways. Ed in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
As a soldier, when I was in the military in Europe, I've used the German health care under my wife's insurance. She's German. And they pay for everything. I didn't have to pay anything. Also, would it not be an incentive for people to get a job, knowing that if you have a job and you find a job or even move where the jobs are, that your kids and you will be covered under health care?
Yeah, it would be to me.
Exactly. I mean, that's one less problem you have to worry about.
Does it say here that you're from Columbus, Georgia?
Correct.
Okay. Are you in Georgia now?
No, I'm in Ohio right now.
Oh, okay. All right. And your wife is German?
Yes.
And you like how the system works there?
I love how the system works there. You know, it comes right straight out of their pay. They don't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, like I say, everything's covered.
Just like our taxes come right out of our pay.
Exactly. No deductible.
No deductible. You agree that places like emergency rooms and that sort of thing are different there than they are here because of that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You go when it's necessary to the emergency room, okay? And if you have a family physician that you are assigned to, and you see them for anything else.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Ed.
You're welcome.
Take care. We're just about out of time, but Tara, I wanted to squeeze you in. Welcome to the show, Tara. We've just got about a minute left.
Hi. Okay. I'm a single mom. I'm self-employed. I have two kids. We're all on Medicaid, which is free.
Because of your economic circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Right. I would be more than happy to pay something, but to buy health insurance outright is $700 a month because I have kidney stones.
Well, if you're on Medicaid, though, wouldn't you automatically qualify for a reduced amount? No. Okay.
No. And I have kidney stones, which aren't covered, and they won't let me just buy policies for just my children. I don't want to be on Medicaid, but there's no choice, you know, $700 a month.
Right. But I'm saying if you qualify economically for Medicaid, wouldn't you qualify for a reduced amount? I mean, you'd fall into one of the...
For insurance? No, not to buy it outright. Nobody told me that.
But under the Affordable Care Act?
Nobody said anything about that to me. $700 a month was all the quotes I got.
Yeah,
so.
Right. But under the Affordable Care Act, it might be different. Of course, that part of the law hasn't gone into effect, but of course, it may never now.
Last time I called was about a year ago.
Okay.
Now, through our local hospital, I qualify for subsidized care.
Okay.
But that's not, you know.
Not the same thing.
I still have to pay hundreds of dollars.
Tara, thanks for your call. We'll have to get back to this one of these days. Give us a call again. Thanks. And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.